would like to invite the Holy Spirit to take control over this part of the service. So if you don't mind, I know we are still collecting around, but those of you that have already dropped it in the offering plate, let's go ahead and ask the Lord to begin to do a deep work in our hearts, and that the word this morning would really fall on a fertile soil and it will produce fruit. Holy Spirit, we're inviting you now to take control. Jesus, you have total freedom to come in and invade our lives, begin to nudge at the areas that we have put in a safe place, and we keep control over those areas. We're inviting you this morning to begin a search work in our hearts. Touch the hearts in a way that they can respond to you. Help us follow you as you're issuing the call to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. Amen. Amen. I told you last time that it's a two-part sermon. So today we're getting ready to finish the scripture that we've been reading from chapter 16. And we began last time reading about Simon, the son of Jonah, being renamed into Peter. Remember that? And he was named Petros, meaning being part of the big boulder, Petra, being part of the big foundational stone, Jesus Christ, the truth, the revelational truth that came in flesh. And so if you remember through that scripture we read, as soon as Simon got his new identity being Petros, hearing the revelation of God, Jesus began to teach them even deeper revelations. Told them about the fact that he was going to go into Jerusalem and he was going to be tortured, at the end killed. He also told them he's going to be resurrected in the third day, but that just sounded too out there, too outstretched from anything that they have experienced. So never mind that. Peter took Jesus aside and rebuked him sternly, saying, "None of that is going to come to you, Christ the Messiah." And Jesus looked at him, and he had no problem going from calling him Petros to calling him, do you remember? Satan, get behind me. You are a hindrance to me. For you are thinking of the things that are on the mind of men, the things that are important to the humanity. That's what you're bringing about. We talked about that Peter really was focused on the fact that the Messiah would be a true, literal liberator of the Jewish nation. And they were going to be freed. No more in slavery to the Romans. Simon, son of Jonah, although he had gotten the revelation from God the Father that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, had missed the most important fact. He didn't quite grasp the destiny that the Messiah was here on this earth to walk among humanity. That's what we're going to talk about today. Let's read Matthew 16, 24 to 27. This finishes the passage that we started last time. Get out of your Bibles, your electronic devices, whatever you read on, please, by all means, make it interactive. Take it out there. iPods, iPads, smartphones, Kindle. Then Jesus said to his disciples, when was that then? Just want to remind you again. He just said to Simon, you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. Then in verse 24, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will actually find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I'll tell you that as I told you that this sermon came out of my personal devotion with the Lord. And what I'm going to be speaking to you this morning is really the gist of that revelation that hit me as I'm reading this scripture. And the way I have entitled this two-part sermon is this: my cross is my destiny. The cross equates your human destiny. And we will talk about that. Lots of talk, lots of writings, lots of sermons have been rendered on the topic of the cross. And we associate the cross primarily with what? Suffering. Yes, suffering. That's what we associate the cross. It's the suffering. And we shy away from the cross. Because in our minds, the picture we see is from now on, as I'm going to follow Jesus Christ, I will have the most miserable life here on earth. One day, okay, I may get to heaven one day, but who cares about the heaven one day? Because I am actually suffering day after day. And Luke actually says, pick up your cross daily. And so as we read the scripture, we tremble and shiver and say, no way. I'm not going to be suffering daily until I reach some out there ethereal abstract idea of heaven. So the cross, although it has been talked a lot about, is the last thing we want to really entertain on a daily basis. Let's be honest. Let's just kind of exchange this morning. I'm just going to exchange from my devotion time. You guys go ahead and give me a feedback from your devotion time. Because the cross is the last thing we want to touch. It is a sticky issue. I know it's pointed like, you know, in two directions. And by the way, we symbolically call the cross whatever. The vertical beam goes to God. The horizontal beam connects us to humanity. And we put all kinds of great symbols to the cross as long as we're not going to talk about how we're going to suffer daily as we pick up the cross. Now, I'm not going to talk about suffering either this morning. Because this is not what the cross symbolizes. We'll go again, that word that I used the last time, and somebody said, I know you used that word exegetical, and I know what that means. That means we're going to take the text, and we will go verse by verse to decipher the actual intent of the writer. By the way, do you know what a good hermeneutics is when we pick up the Bible? We always ask ourselves first, not what the text talks to us about, but we should ask, what is this text telling the first audience that actually heard the word? Because for us to grasp it and understand what it means, we have to build a bridge from 1st century Christianity to 21st century Christianity. So we have to understand the context. So let's go back and look at the context. Peter just says to Christ, "You are the Messiah, the anointed one." And Jesus says, "You're right. You got that revelation from the Father. It wasn't a human idea." And because now, my disciples, you get the truth about me, I'm ready to share with you what's going to happen with me. Just in a few days, Jesus says, we will go to Jerusalem, and I truly would suffer. Okay? Some people are not happy about who I am, what I'm bringing on the scene of humanity. They're truly so unhappy with me that they're not only persecuting me verbally, they're actually going to catch me, abuse me physically, and at the end, they're going to crucify me. I will die. But take heart. I will resurrect in 3 days. I will still come back to life. But within that context, Jesus Christ has explained what the cross meant to him. The cross was the destiny that Jesus, the Son of God, had come from heaven to accomplish on earth. Could Jesus Christ, being God, deity himself, could have accomplished the cross in heaven? I'm asking you, it's not a trick question, it's not a difficult question. Could he have done it in heaven? No. It says in the scripture that the Lamb was slain from the beginning of times. Before the foundation, before anything tangible had ever come into existence with this universe, before God blew any breath in any human soul, before any of the stars were hung and any of the sun and the moon, the plan was made that the Lamb, Jesus Christ, would be sacrificed for you and me to afford a path of reconciliation with God the Father. Why? Because again, Scripture says that God knows the end from the beginning. He wasn't surprised at the rebellion of Adam and Eve. He created them with the freedom to choose, and they chose, just not after God's heart. And Jesus still made a provision. He said, "Send me." Before the foundations of the earth, before the beginning of times, Jesus Christ has volunteered for a destiny that would bring in a very tangible way from heaven to earth the mercy of God and the love of God to exemplify what it looks like in a way that people can touch, feel, and understand, and they can relate to. So if his geographical location was only beyond the earthly atmosphere, no, he wasn't going to be able to accomplish the destiny for which he himself volunteered. So he talks to his disciples and says, "Let me tell you this. This has been already from the beginning of times decided. I know I will suffer and I will die on a cross, yet, don't lose heart, I will come back again to life. I just want to let you know that my destiny involves a wooden, literal cross that I have to pick up and carry. And I'm telling you now that if you desire to follow my example, then you also have to pick up your cross and follow me." He didn't say pick up my cross. He truly did not say, pick up my literal wooden cross with the vertical and horizontal beam on which I literally suffered a death on a cross. He didn't say that to his disciples. He said this, if you are to follow me, what you have to do is deny yourselves and pick up your personal cross. And in Luke again, it says, pick it up daily and follow me. Now, this is an ouch message. We're really going to delve into it. Because as I was reading this, and it was jumping off the pages at me, I had to ask myself some very serious questions. And I hope that you, as we're discussing this, will begin to ask yourself those same questions. To help you with deciphering what that means to you, I'll bring a couple of words. Somehow I became real loud. Thank you, Brendan. Jesus says this, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. What is deny? Deny means to lose sight of oneself and one's own interest. Very interesting. And then he says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. And what does lose mean? To lose something means to put out of the way entirely. So now I'm just really going to be, you know, getting honest and come to the level where we're all at. And begin to talk of what that means in a very everyday relevant way of doing Christianity in 21st century. To follow Jesus Christ, it requires that we have eternal perspective. You cannot follow Jesus Christ if you are focused on what you desire, what your human desires are. In order for you to truly be touched, and in order for you to truly touch others, you have to deny or you have to lose sight of oneself. And in order for you to save instead of lose life, you have to allow that to be done by Jesus Christ and not yourself. Amen. So many of us are trying to save our own lives. So many of us are trying to find meaningful life. We're going after images that are very attractive to us. And we are trying to save our lives. All our lives, we work so hard to provide for our family, to provide for ourselves, to provide to have a good job, to provide to get a good house, to provide to get to climb the career ladder. And as we climb, the higher we climb, the emptier we are. Because Jesus says, what can you exchange for your soul? What could you accomplish in this life? What can you acquire in this life that will satisfy, that would satisfy you deep into your soul? Can you do that on your own? Because you're a spirit, you're a spiritual being. You can only be satisfied by a relationship with another spirit, the Spirit of God, who actually comes and searches your spirit and goes into a love relationship with your spirit. And nothing that is a physical entity can come into that hole and satisfy you. Yet we try. We try to no end to do it on our own. We try to see how much can I find meaning in life, saving my own soul. While Jesus Christ looks at us and says, if you truly desire to follow me. The first prerequisite is this: deny yourself. Deny, lose sight of what you want and lose sight of your interest, meaning you have to switch perspectives. You have to go from an earthly perspective to an eternal heavenly perspective. You have to switch gears. You cannot pick up your cross daily and follow me, because the cross in your life is what the cross was in Jesus' life. It is the actual destiny for which God the Father has created you and has placed you right here on this earth. You may look at me and say, you're kidding me. You think that I personally have a meaningful existence that comes with a divine purpose from heaven to earth? And I'm saying absolutely yes. And it's not just you that are in a church setting, but it is every human being that God had ever created has been placed on this earth to display the glory of the Creator and has been given a very unique destiny to carry. Unfortunately, some of the lost children of God that are out there that don't know Him personally, have no personal relationship, are not aware of a greater destiny. For that reason, people are just looking for satisfaction everywhere. They're looking into drugs, they're looking into sex, they're looking into great acreage, they're looking into great wealth, they're looking into great houses, and none of that satisfies. Because the soul carries an emptiness that only God the Creator can fill. It is spirit. You are a spiritual being, and it is your spirit in relationship to His spirit that gives meaning to life. This is very liberating to understand. You know what? We can shed all of those chains that bind us into human earthly thinking, that things on this earth are worth pursuing to no end, worth giving up our health for, giving up our families for. None of that would count, as Jesus Christ says, that for the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels, and then He will reward each person according to what He has done. What is He going to reward us for? He will reward us for how you have accomplished the destiny that you have been placed here to do on this earth. Your destiny is your cross. Jesus' destiny was to literally die on a wooden cross in first century Christianity, in first century period. That's how they punished criminals. They would put them on a cross and would punish them for the crime that they have done. And there was an actual, literal wooden cross that He was going to hang on. I'm not saying we're going to encounter actual wooden cross in our path. Neither I'm saying that the Lord requires of you or me to suffer to the extent that He has suffered. But He would nonetheless require of every one of us to bring the puzzle piece that is His will in heaven, that belongs to me, that belongs to you, very uniquely assigned to bring this puzzle piece from heaven to earth. There is no other person to bring it but the cross. It is your destiny. It is that cross that you're picking up daily that connects the heaven's puzzle piece. And it travels down that vertical beam and comes to earth and brings that destiny into place. brings the big picture of the kingdom rulership of God from heaven on earth. What do you think Jesus taught his disciples to pray for? It is for his will to come from heaven to earth. As it is in heaven, so be it on earth. And if we are not the conduit for that will to come from heaven to earth, then why even praying that prayer? This is exactly what Jesus is saying. You're that conduit. Your cross, your destiny, whatever I have spoken, very hidden in your heart. Nobody knows it maybe but to you. But I have called you with a specific, meaningful to you call. And I have asked you to go after it with everything you have, everything you possess, everything inside of you, with all of the intent, with all of the emotion, with all of the strength. You go after the destiny that I have put on your life, because there is nobody else that can bring your puzzle piece from heaven to earth. God has created you very uniquely. Nobody else carries that particular makeup that you have. Nobody else have the gift sets, the skills, your personality, the expression of your personality. Nobody else carries it as you carry it. Why do you think that God the Father, the Holy Spirit, inspired 40 different men to write this word? Because he needed the personalities to translate his breath and his truth that we read. And every author has expressed it in a very unique way to bring cohesion to the truth that God wants to infuse on this earth. For that purpose, he needs you, through your uniqueness, to express the breath of truth on this earth. If you abdicate this responsibility of carrying your cross daily, nobody else can pick up that cross, that destiny, and bring it about. It is only you. And today I'm really asking you, what has the Lord spoken into your heart? And how are you going to replace the earthly destiny that you have focused on with heavenly destiny? Are you ready to make the switch? Because we cannot see it through an earthly human perspective. The things that our hearts were going after before we knew the Lord are no more. Those things cannot bring the heavenly perspective. I want to read you Matthew 16, 24 to 27, within this new understanding that the cross is a destiny. And here it goes with the translated words of deny and lose. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, or he must lose sight of himself and his own selfish, temporal interests, and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life, he will actually lose it. Whoever wants to find meaning in life on his or her own is going to be disillusioned. Whoever is looking for satisfaction in wealth, in houses, in acres of land, in 100 pairs of shoes, in thousands of garments, drugs of choice that make you forget the bad and the good, sexual pleasures that satisfy for a fleeting moment, that person is climbing the hill of the optical illusion, which disappoints as soon as the summit is reached. But whoever loses or puts out of the way entirely his life for Jesus' sake will find it." What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, if he has all the hundreds of pairs of shoes and thousands of garments and acres of land and drugs of choice that make you forget the bad and the good, the sexual pleasures that satisfy for a fleeting moment? What good would that do for a man if he forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. Or put it in a different way, the Son of Man will reward everyone according to his or her destiny completion. Or if I have to read it in the words of Paul in Ephesians 2:10, Paul says, "For we are God's workmanship created," and that word created means completely changed and transformed in Christ Jesus, "to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." So I'm just really want to ask you this morning, is your heart burning on the inside? Do you identify with the Spirit of the Most High as He has placed a divine call and divine destiny on your life? And are you aligning with that divine destiny? And this is how Jesus said it to His disciples. Daily, you would pick up that destiny. Look at me. My destiny is an actual rugged cross that I have to pick up and carry. Likewise, you as my followers, if you identify as such, you need to pick up your destiny, own up to it, and carry it. For I'm counting on you. Nobody else can bring. See, the big blueprint in heaven is drawn by God. He knows the end from the beginning. And He has looked at humanity, and He has assigned a piece to every human being. Because remember, He has actually blown His breath in every human being. For that reason, He loves the unsaved as much as He loved the saved. Actually, His heart is totally broken after the unsaved. For they are just as much His children. He has blown His breath into their bodies. And every human being is expected to carry the destiny assigned from heaven, to bring the rulership of God, His kingdom as it is displayed in heaven, to come in reality here on earth. So He's counting on you this morning. He's really counting on you through your entire life to own up to this call. I don't know if you know the Lord, if you have a personal relationship with the Lord. I don't know. But this morning is the best time for you to truly go after that Jesus that I'm describing, that came out of sacrificial desire to show the love of God the Father, came in a human flesh, took upon Himself your sin. I'm talking to saved and to unsaved, because even the saved, as we go through life, we just stumble, and there are things we do that offend God the Father. Yet Jesus Christ, in His not condemning but totally accepting love, offers your offers you a reconciliation, offers you a path to come back to the Father. Today is not a day of judgment, by the way. There will come one day, a day, when He would look at what you have done and will assess the accomplishment of your destiny. And on that, you will be rewarded. But today is a day of reconciliation, meaning a day when mercy is totally freely offered to all of us, those that know Him and those that don't know Him. In just about a couple of minutes, I will open those altars, and you would be able to come to the Lord and accept Him as a personal Savior if that has never happened in your life, or own up to the call. Because God has been working with your hearts for a while. You just haven't really responded yet. Or maybe some of you are responding and are quite fearful for what you think that means to you. And to Jesus Christ, it truly meant a literal death on the cross. Yet, death had no power over the most powerful. So He came to life in a victorious way, assuring that everything you will put your hand to it will prosper. And this is a promise from His Word. Your destiny, as He's calling you now to step into, as He's talking to you, pick up your cross, put it on your shoulder and follow Me, is assuredly a victorious destiny. For He defeated a powerful one. He defeated Satan. He defeated death. He defeated the enemy that comes against you and tries to tear you down and keep you back. And this morning is the opportune time for you to just walk in faith and boldness and courage and say, I identify with the destiny that God has put on my shoulders. I will pick up my cross and I will carry it wherever it takes me. I want to remind you, Sarah, if you would put the CD up there. I want to remind you of a couple of biblical characters that looked at the call on their lives. And it was very hard. It truly looked like a cross. Yet they gladly stepped into the destiny for what God has called them to do. And they accomplished what no human being alone could. But by the empowerment of God, Hannah, the mother of Samuel, gave up a son to gain a prophet. Mary, the mother of Jesus, gave up her good reputation of a good virgin, but she gained a Savior. Abraham, the patriarch of the Jewish nation, gave up his native country, the most developed Mesopotamia at that time. In all civilization, he gave up his people, his father's household, but he gained a city whose architect and builder is God Himself. Esther, she risked losing her life to gain the lives of an entire nation. She took a hold of her societal position for such a time as this. And my question this morning to all of us is this. These biblical heroes I just mentioned understood their crosses and they picked them up and they carried them victoriously. But what is your cross? What is that destiny that God is asking you to take up in order to follow him. I will open those altars for us to reflect on that question. Some of us know very well what is that cross that God has placed before us. What is that puzzle piece that awaits us to be brought from heaven to earth? And God is relying on you to bring it into existence so his kingdom rulership can come in fullness from heaven to earth. Some of us have a good idea of what that is. Some of us are actually fighting it. Some of us have been saying for a while, please no, Jesus. The cross scares me to death, for it is a sacrifice that you're asking me to enter. Yet remember that the cross experience for Jesus Christ entailed a total victory. For the cross was not able to keep him, but he came alive and he assured your victory of your destiny. So this morning, my call to all of us is this. Reflect on the destiny that God has placed on your life. Nobody is an exception. We all called of the Lord to carry our kingdom part of heaven to be brought to earth. For those of you that don't know that Jesus Christ I'm talking about that is asking us to follow, I would invite you to come and I'll be right here to meet with you and pray with you. I will invite you to enter the kingdom of God and to allow his meaning of life to take over your emptiness. But I dare say to those of us that know this Jesus Christ, but have not engaged the call of destiny, the call of the cross, have not begun to pick it up daily and carry it. For those of us, we still feel an emptiness in here because we are not engaging with the mission of Christ. So I'm inviting all of those that would like to reflect, come to the front. We will spend some time in the presence of the Lord. And for those of us that would like to dedicate their lives to follow Christ in a serious way, I would love to pray with you here. I want to remind you that our connection groups are starting in about 20 or so minutes, or the Lord may keep us even longer around here. But as we linger around the altars and as we are done, then let's go into the connection groups and engage that topic today. The cross. Are we ready to pick it up? Let's all stand up, and those of you that would like to make their way to the front, let's do that. Father, we're just so grateful that your word had come forth, that you have challenged us to no end. I'm just praying right now, let your spirit bring us, Father, into an alignment with your will for our lives. For you have asked us to step up to the plate and to pick up the cross and to carry it. For this is our destiny, for which you have created us and placed us on this earth. Thank you, Lord, for those that are responding, that are obedient to your call. Thank you, Father, and we're just praying that you would continue to give us revelation and wisdom. Hallelujah. I'll invite you to come forth.